yearning for the folks to see. You're gonna see that side of me. Baby, come to town. Lots of music and plenty of fun. Yes, little bit for everyone. And it won't be nothing left undone with my baby come to town. Band playing a swingaroo. Everyone with a liquor too. Everyone gonna swing and sway all night long to the break of day. We got whiskey, women, wine and gin. We're gonna dance all night till it's a sin. But I'll give out till we give in with my baby come to town.
Right there, hot and cold Saturday morning. Good morning, I'm Tom. It's a little cloudy. I think it's going to be cloudy all day. It's autumn, and we can take it. We're a tough lot. I don't know if you've noticed, but I have. There's a lot less traffic. Don't tell anybody. There's a lot less traffic. And I go to the supermarket. There's a lot less people, too, especially where I frequent down on the coast. It's nice. It's you know, autumn is my time, and October is about the perfect month. September's okay, but we still got that summer. And okay, summer's all right, but I mean, you know, you hit your stride this time of year. I do. Anyway, cranking out the projects because it's not hot and muggy and it's not buggy. I had to drop a car yesterday, and I called Maria to pick me up, and I knew she was going to be a while. I called her back, said, I'm going to start walking. And I was out in Bucksport. I was walking the back road, and it was so quiet. It was, you know, I'm so used to being around all the hubbub of Route 1 and the traffic and everything, and even if you're off the road a ways, you've got all that traffic noise. It's inescapable. Here I am walking on this back road, and it's absolutely quiet. And I'm walking, and then all of a sudden I hear the trickle of a stream that's going under the road. I'm like, you know, I just want to stop and sit there for a while. But I had another goal, was to see how far I could get before I got picked up, and she was about 20 minutes. I got about a mile in. I wasn't running. I wasn't going out of there. I was going to, you know, I was going to put the Bluetooth on for my phone and listen to tunes. Unfortunately, I didn't. I just absorbed the quiet. It was just, I miss that. I miss it a lot. Years ago, we used to live in Franklin. Right on the main road of Franklin. And we were back there a couple of years ago looking around, and just loved how quiet it was. You know, there'd be a car go by every 5 minutes. And I miss that. I miss that about small towns. I mean, I'm in a small town now, but we got the traffic. And it's not the same. Anyway, so big stuff this week. I've continued. I think last week I announced I'd started painting the basement floor. And I continue to move stuff around and clean stuff up. And it's now an archaeological dig because I'm finding stuff that got buried. I could use that. It was behind that thing. And there was a window that was in the house when we bought it that would one of the lower sashes, one pane of the double pane had broken. I said, well, I'll hang on to that because, you know, I might need that window. And I'm never going to replace the glass. So got a lot of that stuff out of the way. Got the floor painted. And most, I would say, at this point, I'm about 65, 70% done. I've got stuff we're storing for my daughter that is going to be a little bit of a challenge. I got to repile it after I paint. But one of the things that has occurred is I've come to appreciate how many bugs have landed in the basement. And it's mostly crickets. And for some reason, I'm painting the floor gray. And for some reason, they're more visible now than it was when it was just bare concrete. And so the cricket population has rapidly diminished. I don't have the door open, but there were some cracks in the floor and stuff. So we're sealing the cracks and getting there. So in the process, I think last weekend, I got some cinder blocks to put the boiler on. So I got the Toyotomi set up, got it plumbed, got everything working. And I'm just wrapping up the control wiring. I had alligator clips to just jerry-rig to test everything, make sure the heat worked right, the boiler worked right, because I had bought it used, and it works fine. So I'm ready for winter. Alligator clips or not, I'll be hardwired here in another 8 hours. I got some conduit this morning. I got metal conduit. You know, I've gotten to a point where I just kind of love working with conduit. And it's all exposed, but I just want the wiring contained. A lot of wiring in the basement is Romex. But for the boiler wiring, I like to use conduit for some reason. And it's just, it's not going to be damaged. And the idea of using conduit in walls is very appealing to me, except for the fact it's a pain. But, your wiring's protected, it's contained. And it's not necessarily cheap to work with conduit, but it does look smart if it's exposed. My shop is all wired in conduit, as it should be. You know, it's a workshop. And it's kind of fun. It just, you have to slow down. You can't just bang it out. You got to think it through, measure it right, and all good. All good stuff. Speaking of good stuff, we got the text up and running this morning, 601-207-4478. The phone number is 1-800-966-1039. But we got to stop. I must stop. Stop talking, Tom. We got to take a break. We'll be right back. It is hot and cold. It is Saturday morning. You knew that. You're here, and your guilty pleasure has begun.
Joy to know.
Okay. They got this is from Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? And they got dialogue and singing. That's not right.
He's in the jailhouse now.
All right, there we go. Yeah. All right. We're back. Phone number 1-800-966-1039. Text 601-207-447. And I should listen to these tunes more before I play them, huh? What do you say? Oh, excuse me. So the other big thing about painting the basement floor is now the basement floor is clean. And I don't need basement shoes to go in the the floor was really dusty and you know, it would track dust upstairs. I don't have to do that anymore because I have painted paths everywhere I need to tread in the basement, which is a momentous thing. I mean, I've been 3 years living like this with extra shoes. So I don't need the extra shoes anymore. By golly, that's a step in the right direction, if ever there was one. The excuse me. So in addition to testing, now that we got a little nip in the air, I also have been testing the wood stove, being as I lined the chimney and insulated the chimney, and I only made one fire really. It seems to be working better. It hasn't been cold enough to really let her rip and set it up, but so far it looks pretty good. So I'm happy about that. When I get in here Saturday morning, I'm preparing, and I really do prepare. I know you find that hard to believe. But apparently some research out about going to Mars. And they think that if you wind up living on Mars, you're apt to turn green, get brittle bones, and go blind. Other than that, it's great. So Elon Musk, when you go to Mars, sayonara, baby. Not unanticipated. I mean, you know, it's a whole different global magnetics and radiation from the sun is not filtered the way it is here on Earth. So, yeah. So my whole plan to go to Mars is gone. It's just shot in the tookus, just like that. I guess it's okay. this teeters on the brink of politics, but I have to just mention, I've been reading two books by a guy by the name of Desmond Morris. And if you're old enough, or maybe you've read enough, you're familiar with his book, The Naked Ape, which is about human beings and the relationship we have as creatures to other creatures on Earth and how things developed as humans over the years. And I'm reading a second book that was a sister book to The Naked Ape called The Human Zoo, which talks about cities. And it's fascinating and this guy's still alive. I mean, he wrote the book in 68, 69 in that time. And he's like 96 now. He's written about 30 books. He's we'll call him a zoologist for the time being. But fascinating book. One of the things he talks about, and this is where I'm stepping a little bit on politics, and I don't want to talk politics, but I just want to share. He refers to, pretty quickly in the book, human beings living together, becoming super tribal. And I've used that term, and I didn't use super tribal because I said, you know, we're kind of like tribes. You know, George likes Boston. Somebody else likes the Yankees. Somebody's Democrat. Somebody's Republican. You know, my tribe is the tribe. And that's amplified as we become, I don't know if the right word is, more sophisticated, more evolved, I guess would be the term. And it's an interesting thing. I'm not done with the book yet. And it goes into all details of life as we know it. And it's an interesting read if you want to read something a little bit different. He's got about 30 books out, and he sort of retired to Ireland, which seems kind of nice to me. But name is Desmond Morris. And The Naked Ape was a book that I had known about for years, never read it. finally got it and read it, and it was okay. Now I'm hooked. I got to read more. So that's been occupying some of my spare time, not a lot of it. It's been my buddy Massimo. You go in there to Massimo's down in Searsport for Italian whatever, and it's a three-ring circus because if I walk in and he's there and he's talking to somebody, and I got to move back from the microphone because I will speak in his volume. He goes, "Hey, you know Tommy Gozzi? He's the Prius guy. He's on the radio. You listen to him on the radio?" That's the way he talks. So that's worth the trip just for that. Well, he was going to close for the winter. He's reopening middle of October, I think, and will stay for the winter. And he changed his mind all the time. I'm happy for him and happy for us that he'll be around for the winter. That'll be good. So just so you know, I tell you, he went to Sardinia. I am so jealous. I mean, if it just looks gorgeous. And Sardinia is one of those places where people live to be like 120 years old because they have no stress. No tribalism, no stress. There probably is tribalism, but it's a little different. Very, very stress-free. The water looks gorgeous. It's an island, if you're not familiar with Sardinia. Pete wants to know if they have sardines in Sardinia. I have a feeling they do. I just call it a intuition. But he'll be reopening, I think, around the 13th. I have to look at the calendar at our next break. So that's something we can look forward to. This week, we've had an awful lot of car stuff going on. Not that we don't always do, but, you know, we got cars people want. I mean, literally, you know, we put them out for sale, and we're ready to sell them, and something stupid sneaks up. A check engine light comes on. We had one that we know needed some work on the AC. And the car's ready. The car is fantastic. The car is clean. It's ready to go. It's been through the shop. I checked the AC, it's not working. So I pass it off to one of my guys, and he says, we need to replace the compressor. Now, this was a hybrid Highlander. Now, many hybrid cars, not all, but the newer ones especially, have electric AC compressor. So I order a hybrid Highlander AC compressor. And it comes, it's in the box. I don't even look at it. I just pass it off to the mechanic, and he calls me up, says the pressure switch on the compressor is broken. So my question is, can you swap compressor switches? He says, no. And it's got a pulley on it. It's for a regular Highlander. It's not a hybrid. So then we go and run on ice and tell the customer we have to wait. It came in yesterday. Got it put in. Everything's working fine. But we've been dealing with that kind of. You deal with that stuff anyway when you're getting car parts because cars are kind of complicated. And every so often somebody goofs and sends you the wrong part. The past month has been like that. Everything we've dealt with has been like running on ice, trying to get the right part. Excuse me, at the right time, just ain't happening. In any kind of timely fashion. And, you know, and it's usually a car that we say, hey, that's ready to go. And then, something crops up and we can't sell it that way. We got to make sure it's all. We can, but it's going to come back, which we don't want to have a customer have to bring it back just because, you know, they bought the car. They should have it. We should have it all working right. But it's just agonizing. And I'm sure you've dealt with this with cars. You know, you take it in and it's fixed, and then something else, the check engine light comes back on or whatever. And a lot of times you're chasing your tail because there's so much computerized stuff, and it's just challenging. And fortunately, it doesn't happen a whole lot, but when it does happen, and we just have had back-to-back stuff like that for the past couple of weeks, and, if you question why I'm losing my hair, that's why. Oh, let's see. Speaking of car guys, there's this guy. He had a TV show for a while. I think it was on one of the Discovery channels. And I've been getting prepared for the upcoming season of Curse of Oak Island. So, well, I'm going to sign up for the History Channel. I'm going to buy the History Channel just so I can watch this stupid show and rant and rave about it every Saturday. I went to sign up. You know, this is a Discovery Channel. Well, they don't include the History Channel. That's annoying. But Discovery Channel did have a series for a while called Bad Chad, who is a car guy who makes custom cars. And he's up in, I think he's up in Newfoundland. He's Canadian. And he's up in the middle of nowhere and just doing really cool stuff. But he's on YouTube a lot and has videos. And he uses Harbor Freight $39 spray guns and until they don't work right. And then he gets another Harbor Freight $39 high-velocity, low-pressure spray gun. And an interesting character. You have to, if you haven't seen it, Bad Chad's easy enough to remember. Get on YouTube and take a peek. He is a character. I guess maybe there's a lot of those people up north. It seems like it. Speaking of characters, we got to take a break here. It is 8:29, almost 8:30. Well, that means it's time. We'll take the break. We'll come back in just a moment at 1-800-966-1039. Phone number, text line 601-207-4478. Stay with us. If I hit the button, the music actually plays. There we go.
But then if you're so smart, tell me why are you still so afraid? Where's the fire? What's the hurry about? You better cool it off before you burn it out. You got so much to do and only so many hours in a day. Hey, but you know that when the truth is told, that you can get what you want or you can just get old. You're gonna kick off before you even get halfway through. Ooh, when will you realize Vienna waits for you? Slow down, you're doing fine. You can't be everything you wanna be before your time. Although it's so romantic on the borderline tonight, tonight.
All right, we're back, day 35. It is hot and cold. It is Saturday morning, and the phone number is 1-800-966-1039. Text is 601-207-4478. Somebody texted in, it was Desmond Morris, an anthropologist. He is not. He's a zoologist and an ethologist. So we got that going for him. Message here. There's a book by Carl Sagan, The Dragons of Eden, primarily about development of the human brain. He shows the age of Earth represented by 1 year. Time humans have been around is the last 10 minutes of December 31st. Pretty humbling. Yeah. Matter of fact, I'll probably have to read that one. That's what I do. Anyway, we got a phone call on line one. Let's do that right over there. There we go. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good. So I'm calling. I have a car question. Is that all right?
Sure.
Yep. So my question is, I've got a 2016 Honda Fit, and my air pressure light came on for the tires, And one of the back driver's side was low by about 10 PSI. Hmm. So I probably did pick something up, but I filled it back up, and the light didn't go off. So I'm wondering, is there a situation where I bring the tires back up to the correct pressure and the light stays on? I'm just wondering what's going on with that.
Yeah. Well, usually once you get it back up to the right pressure, if everything else is okay, the light will go off. If it stays on, that means you probably have a pressure sensor that has failed. And the time to replace those, well, if this tire has to be replaced, that'd be the time.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, when you take it to the shop, they're going to be able to tell which sensor is acting up. It may not be that sensor. It may just be coincidental. You picked up a nail or something and lost pressure.
Right.
But,
okay.
You know, it's not
interesting.
Yeah. It's not the kind of thing that you need to sweat over, that it's not like a check engine light that you need to diagnose right away, but
right.
Obviously till you get it fixed, you want to keep an eye, especially if you have a leaky tire.
Exactly. Okay. Well, okay. Thank you so much. I'll just keep an eye on the tire pressure manually.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Maybe buy myself some time before I get that light checked
out. I hear you. Okay. Good luck.
So okay. Awesome. Hey, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. Bye. Yeah. Let's see if I hit that. There we go. Tire pressure. It's great to have them until they misbehave, and then it's $50, maybe more. But I have in my head it's $50 to replace the tire pressures. Now you have to have the tire broken down, so that's another $20 on top of the sensor. And hopefully they don't hit you for a reflash to a new sensor has to be synced up with the computer in the car. It's a convenient thing to have when it's working right. When it's not working right, it's going to cost you money. But it's not mission critical if you just want to keep an eye on tire pressure. So you can do that. But if you're down, you know, 10 PSI, you also want to make sure you don't have a nail or something you picked up. That happens. Speaking of car problems, last Saturday morning, the Tom Prius, the exhaust started getting really loud. By the time I got back down to home, I had something on the lift. I got it off the lift. I put the car on the lift. The exhaust pipe had disconnected from the muffler. So I had a spare muffler in the shop. I tried to keep one on the shelf, so to speak. So I swapped it out with my fancy dress shirt on, too. You know, I try to look presentable because here I am on the radio Saturday morning. I'm away from wearing T-shirts until it gets warm out during the day. I've got a button-down collar shirt, try to look officious, and at some point I lose it in about a half hour once I start doing stuff. But I wore it Saturday just to do the muffler and didn't mess it up. My wife will tell you, most of my clothing has got some evidence of auto repair on it. But I swapped out the muffler. I think I had to order. I didn't have a muffler for that car. My car's older. That's right. So I called my buddies at B&L. Had them bring a muffler. Oh, when I took the old muffler off, right? And both hangers broke. You know, the welded hangers just broke. So I said, send me a couple hangers. And I spent more time fussing with the hangers than I did getting the muffler on. The muffler was a nothing job. I do have all the other little tidbits that go to make hook up a muffler, but it was, I wanted to have something to do Saturday. Get bored. It's a weekend. I'm not supposed to be working on cars, right? But it all worked out okay. And I'm just about turning 473,000 miles on it. And I drove a little faster this morning coming up here, so I only did about 50 miles per gallon, which, you know, it's a 2007. Was that 17? Technically 18 years. We're in a new car year. We're talking 2025, boys and girls. You know, we're ahead when you're talking cars. So that's 18 years. Yeah, test, and it doesn't. I do need to change the oil. You know, the reason it's still working so well is it's reasonably well maintained. I'm not like Pete. I don't change things before they break, but I do try to stay ahead of the oil. And I'll confess here, live on the radio, I'm overdue for an oil change. And I haven't used any oil, so we got a good one. That doesn't always happen, but this was one, so that's good. A friend of mine came in yesterday, who works in a woodworking shop, and he brought me, I think, 6 pieces of beautiful white ash for making banjos. I've solicited him and said, look, if you ever have any scraps, I got this banjo thing I'm doing. And he brought me in this stuff, is leftover, and 7/8 of an inch thick. True 7/8, not nominal anything. And it's too thick for what I mean, it's heavy. And at this point, I'm trying to make, when I get back in, when I finish painting the floor, I rearrange all my tools, get the table set up again. The plan is to try to lighten up the banjo a little bit, see if I can make the instrument a little bit lighter and not compromise anything. I don't think that may not be possible, but we got to try. And in the process, as we've been moving stuff around to paint, I have all these wire shelves, so I'm cleaning them up and organizing. Like, I've got parts for instruments that I'm not currently going to make, and I don't need them on my workbench. So they're on the shelves, and I'm slowly getting all that stuff on the shelves out of the way so I can start to make what conceivably will be another variation on the theme. But it also on the shelves are the artifacts of every generation that I've made up to this point. You know, I've made something, and maybe something I think the first one I did, I tried, I actually was using OSB. This is not a musical instrument, okay? OSB with hot melt, just to test some fitment. I think I might have put it together to see if it would play, but I took it apart. It didn't. I can't throw it away because this could, if I ever had an instrument that made sense, I could point and say, you know what? Look at that piece of that thing over there. I made that. That was the first prototype. Yeah. So there's a pile of them. They're about 18 inches tall now. I've got so many of the darn things that we go through. But that's the whole aspect of trying something different. And I speak as one who has, 3 patents? I think it's 3 patents I have. Not that that gives me any credibility, but I have 3 patents. For what it's worth, I got them. I can't deny that they're there. You can look them up online, or you look up my name. There's that trial and error aspect. I mean, Thomas Edison said, it's 1% creativity, 99% perspiration, or whatever I'm paraphrasing. It's a lot of work to make something different and make something new. And usually you can assume it's not going to work. And if you're not doing it in the privacy of your basement and you're sharing it with the world, which I guess I do occasionally, you're apt to have egg on your face because it didn't work. But that's the best thing ever, because you know it's not going to. Dick and I used to talk about this all the time. We know a lot of ways to do things that don't work. And that's kind of important. That's an important thing. That's what human beings, that's what we do when we create things. We don't just say, I have a brilliant idea. It's done. There it is. Nuh-uh. And it doesn't matter if it's computer coding or it's making furniture, or it's even, house painting or something. You try different paints and, that paint is awful. That doesn't cover worth a darn. And you find the brand that you realize works much better. And, it's that kind of thing. So we got some phone calls. Let's go to the phones, line 2. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Yeah, good morning, Tom. Since you're on the subject of mufflers and my 09, the heat shield on top of the muffler is looks like it's rotted through on the fasteners that are directly above the muffler. My inclination is to remove it. Does it get tremendously hot around there? It seems to be a pretty good air gap.
Yeah, I don't think it's mission critical that it be, obviously it should be there, but I don't think if it's here's the thing, it's rattling around, it's all loose. At some point, if you don't touch that, it's going to fall off. Or if you didn't hear it, your car's not going to catch on fire. That being said, okay. If you want, usually there's discrete. The only place you have to be careful about re-screwing it would be watching for lines like brake lines, gas lines, and those are visible. And also the power line that goes from, if this is a Prius, I assume, going from the hybrid battery underneath the car. But that's nowhere near that shield. So I've done probably half it. You know, I know we've pulled some out, and if there's enough meat there, I'll screw it back in place with a short hex head screw and a washer.
Huge washer might fix it, but
yeah,
or make something.
Yeah, or you just yank it.
I don't want to do that today.
Okay, I hear you. All right.
Okay, thanks, Tom.
Okay, you're welcome. Bye bye. Yeah, I had one came in last week. Customer who was a musician, he's an older fella, and he's not going to do anything. And he told me what was going on, and I got underneath the car, which had been wool waxed. Now I didn't put it on the lift because I have a car working on the lift, and so I just jacked it up as much as I could, and got underneath. And I was able to get, and it was that center one. Now the center one is, if my memory serves me right, is not adjacent to the catalytic converter. The front one is the catalytic converter. And really, I don't think it's a huge deal, but ideally you keep them in place if you can. If it's not all boogered up and you can get a couple of screws in it, it's an easy fix. Don't use long screws, maybe nothing longer than maybe a half inch, because it is apt to come, it's going to bottom out in the carpeting. But in that center area, there's nothing there that's going to, you're not going to be putting a screw in somebody's foot. And I don't believe there's anything in the way. I put enough in and we've never had any catastrophes. So, and again, a trial and error thing. If I put them in and the car, I actually did that. Oh God. Oh. I put a screw into a gas tank once, screwing in one of those stupid heat shields. I was so embarrassed. And I think I left. So get this. I put the screw in the gas tank and it's dripping gas, and I knew as I was doing it, I realized, and then boom, the gas starts leaking. I'm like, how stupid can you be, Thomas? And I've got a cordless drill. Now, a cordless drill has brushes, right? And they spark. So Mr. Einstein here unscrews the screw. And of course, then fortunately, nothing caught on fire. I put the screw back in, because it's leaking less, and took it to a friend of mine who actually started a fire doing the same. I'm taking it to him. He'll appreciate my stupidity. I mean, you just, and in the heat of the moment, something like that happens, and your first reaction is, I got to get the screw out. Well, you take the screw out, it's going to leak more. So I put the screw back in, and I didn't set myself on fire, but man, you go into panic mode, and we can make fun of people who do something stupid like that, but I guess call it animal instinct. You want to fix it right away. You want to undo what you've just done, and unfortunately, or fortunately at least, I didn't do any major damage. But that is a good case for tearing the damn heat shield. Now the heat shield was right adjacent to the gas tank, but it was just the exhaust pipe. It doesn't get that hot, But heat shield's there for a reason. Some engineer decided that heat shield should be there. Now, that's the same engineer, though, who said, okay, I've got an aluminum heat shield. I'm going to use a steel fastener to fasten it to a steel body. And what happens? The steel fastener in contact with the aluminum corrodes away, and then you get a hole around the where the connection is on the aluminum as well. And then you can't undo the original fastener because it's all corroded. If you've ever seen these, they're becoming one with the earth very quickly. So it's a matter of the best next solution is a screw that's short. And as a matter of fact, the one I repaired, he had a mechanic, the customer, my musician customer, and he wasn't sure about what to do, which is the right thing to do. You know, if you're not sure, don't do it. So he called me and I said, yeah, bring it in. And I fixed it for him. And you know, it's secure. I wound up putting three fasteners in where I could reach. Between the wool wax and the skin I lost crawling underneath this car, I got it done. So that was good. Let's see. Do we have time? I think we might just have time to squeeze in one more call. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Hello.
Hi. You're on the air.
Hey, I'm calling from Wisconsin here. I've got a 89 Dodge conversion van. And I don't really want to upgrade. I'm thinking it's not rusted. It's from Florida. And I'm thinking I want to upgrade the motor, like upgrade it. What are your thoughts on having someone buying an actual rebuilt motor or have someone rebuild the motor as opposed to buying another vehicle?
If the car is in good shape and, you know, it's... I'm always in awe when I see cars from Florida or the Deep South where there's nothing on the roads. I think you can make a good case for it. I'm not an expert on what motor to go in or how on Dodge conversion vans generally, but if you've got an intact, I'm going to call it an antique because it's technically could be run as an antique car. Putting a new motor in gives it new life. Now it might need a transmission at some point or some other, but all that running gear, you know, the cool part about something like that is if the parts are still available, they're going to be not crazy money and they are pretty serviceable vehicles in terms of there's not a lot of computers. They either work or they don't work. I think that's probably maybe a fuel injected, but anyway, short answer is it's worth looking at. The next step is going to be just researching what motor would go in there and, of course, who would put it in. But I'm sure any mechanic in the state of Maine, with the exception of people who work on EVs, would be fascinated to do it and probably happy to do it. So I got to go now. Now we're out of time. Oh, yeah, I got that right there. Okay. Yeah, I cue up this music. I forget what I got, but this is a good one. Yeah, we'll be back in just a little bit.
Man.
We're back. 906 hot cold Saturday morning. Good morning again. I'm Tom. You can't see me, but you can hear me. That's because we're coming to you through the magic of radio on this fine Saturday morning. Someday, one of these days, I'll do the live Facebook streaming thing, and then you'll never listen again. the stuff that goes on here, you wouldn't believe it. But I can give you our text number, 601-207-4478. The phone line, of course, is 1-800-966-1039. Let's see. Trying to recollect for the your edification on Saturday mornings, projects that I have undertaken in the past week. And one has been LED lights. So when I did the house over, which is now 3 years ago, I went to Home Depot. We also went to Lowe's to get some light fixtures. And they have these nice low-profile, maybe 11, 13 inches in diameter, LED light. You can adjust the color of the light. If you want it more yellow or more white or blue or whatever, you can do that. And I got them, and we put them in different places, you know, all the rooms. And we've had several start to flicker. So I talked to my buddy John, who is an electrical engineer. I said, what do you think? I said, is this a power supply thing? He says, I think so. So last weekend, we grabbed a replacement because the bathroom light was flickering a lot. This is not a wiring issue. Wires are connected properly. They're not loose or anything. It's a very faint, and you may have seen this, a faint flicker. And I had a similar experience in our kitchen. We had some little pod lights in the kitchen, you know, over, I guess what you call a workstation or an area where you would be. And those started flickering. And again, the power supply related thing. So I swapped the lights out. We picked up one, and I swapped it out last Sunday. And I took apart the one that was offending us here. And I'm looking at the unit, and the LED light structure, if you will, looks like any other. It looks like it's well put together. You open the thing up, and there's a little power supply, and it's for lack of a better way to explain it, looks cheap and cheesy, which it is. And so I'm thinking, well, I have to set up. I think it's like 36 volts, this particular light. So I think what I'm going to do is I have power supplies in my shop, and I haven't done it all week. I've been running in circles with my head on fire, but maybe I'll do it today. Hook it up to a regular power supply, and we'll see if it flickers. And I will bet you, dollar for donuts, it ain't going to flicker. And I'm not quite sure what the weak point is in the power supply. A lot of times, for what limited understanding I have as I get older, I forget a lot of stuff related to electronics. But generally speaking, a lot of electronics failures are related to capacitors failing. I don't know if they make them cheap. Well, I know they make them cheap. That's not an equation even. And I can tell you from experience, earlier Priuses like the one I drive have a display, an LED display, that will sometimes fail. And it will go out. Cars still run, but the display's not working. You don't know how many miles per hour you're driving, you don't know what your gas gauge is telling. This is 2004, 2009, this happens. And it's fixable. And I repair them, and I replace a capacitor. Now, to get to that capacitor, I have to take the whole front of the car. You got to pull out the dashboard. Then you got to disassemble it's called a combination meter. Take that apart to get to the point where that one little part is, and it's a tiny little thing. It's maybe an eighth of an inch long and less than that wide. and I replace it with a very healthy looking capacitor because I don't want to do it again. I don't want to have a customer have to have it done. And those cars are aging out anyway, but it's capacitor. And I suspect that's what's going on in the power supplies. And I didn't even look at it to see if there's capacitors to replace, but at some point I just have to take the time to sit down with it. That'd be a fun wintertime project. I could do it in the winter. We got a phone call on 1-800-966-1039. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Hey, Tom. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Boy, how about all this water on the coast down in Florida?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And then in Maine, you know, the coastline is changing. It's uninsurable in Florida.
Yeah.
I tell you, the state and the federal, they're going to take back the coast, and it's going to be all parks and recreation. No home building, no businesses.
Well, here's the real control. It isn't necessarily the government. The government, I agree, the government is apt to be buying these properties back because they probably never should have been built on. But what defines that happening is the fact that you can't get insurance on those properties. So if you're going to build your million-dollar home on the water, which, I would love to be there. The thing that controls your fate is the insurance. And either you have no insurance and you wait for the storm to float it away, or you get insurance so you're covered. You know, you obviously it's our major asset for most people. That's going to determine what happens there. If you can't get insurance, most people are going to say, I can't be there. Now, they run on because I don't have regular cable TV. I use Prime a lot. And Prime reruns a lot of old houses. And I watch them enough that I'm seeing the same shows over. And one of the series I like is the one where they're on the Jersey Shore. Because I know that area. I've been there. And it's a beautiful place. And the water is warm. Oh. I miss that. I don't miss the people. People like sardines on the beach, but the water was warm. But anyway, all these houses that are being rebuilt from a few years ago now are being put on. They're being elevated, either put on pilings or concrete columns or posts of some form, so that the And they can even close in that lower area, but it's going to be closed in a way that those walls can give. So if there was a storm surge, the building stays intact. Everything on underneath, maybe you park your car, whatever, store stuff, all that washes away, but the building is intact. So the major loss isn't there. How long that's good for? Who knows? If they had a 20-foot storm surge in Florida, and they had 24-foot storm. I mean, you know, these buildings are up in the air 8 feet. So 20, you do the math, 20 and 8 doesn't quite get you there, okay? You got 12 feet of overlap, so you're still in big trouble. But at very least, that's what's happening. And God knows, if you watch the video of the Outer Banks down in North Carolina, places like that, those buildings still wash away. So... But you're right. I think it's going to be that they're going to be have to go away and become still use the beach. You just can't live right on the beach, as much to everybody's dismay. But you know, we have to be realistic about the risks involved, and we certainly are seeing some what appear to be more serious storms than we ever have before. So, all right, 9:15. You know what that means.
You're concerned about my happiness. All that thought you're giving me is conscience, I guess. If I were walking in your shoes, I wouldn't worry none. You and your friends are worried about me. I'm having lots of fun counting flowers on the wall that don't bother.
silence there till dawn with a deck of 51. Smoking cigarettes and watching Captain Kangaroo. Now don't tell me I've nothing to do. Last night I dressed in tails pretending I was on the town. As long as I can dream, it's hard to slow the swimmer down. Please don't give a thought to me, I'm really doing fine. You can always find me here, I'm having quite a time. Counting flowers on the wall, that don't bother me at all. Playing solitaire till dawn with a deck of 51. Smoking cigarettes and watching Captain Kangaroo. Now don't tell me I've nothing to do. It's good to see you, I must go, I know I.
Back in town. I just want you to understand that. Mac's not back in town, but Pete is. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning.
Who
was
that? Who was that? You tell me. I'll give you $100. You tell me who that was. Huh?
Bruce Springsteen.
That was Dee Snider.
Dee Snider. That was my second guess.
Twisted Sister.
Yeah.
He was, he was channeling Bobby Darin there. Then he went over to being Dee Snider again.
I got to comb the listening audience for some information here.
Uh-oh.
I think everybody would like to know this, all right?
Mm-hmm.
I got to know. Surely there are a couple members of the law enforcement community, either current or retired, that listen to this program, right?
Yeah.
I need to know if there's a law enforcement vehicle behind me and I'm driving, how fast do you want me to go?
That's a good question.
Okay. Now, look, here's the thing, is like if you're on a road where the posted speed limit is 35,
yeah,
and you're driving 35, that's like, I think we can all agree, that's pretty slow. It feels very, very slow. It feels more correct somewhere between 35 and 45 at the upper echelon of it. Now, I'm not saying that I speed 10 miles over the speed limit everywhere I go. I'm just saying 35, like, I know that that's... Okay, you can be anonymous.
True confessions.
You can text or call in anonymously. But, like, if you're behind me... Like, this is what happened to me. A few weeks ago, I'm on Essex Street in Bangor. There's a cop right behind me, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I got to keep... I'm trying to... Here's the thing. Is I slowed down to the speed limit, but then I felt so suspicious, it was almost unbelievable. Like, as he got right up on me, I'm like, he's running my plate. I know what he's doing. He's running my plate because I'm doing the speed limit. That's why. If I was doing 41 miles an hour, he would be like, fine. Plus, I know they've got somewhere to be. Most of the time, they're not just driving around looking for somebody doing 6 miles over the speed
limit. You don't want to be obstructing justice.
They must be getting as frustrated with me driving slow as I am with me driving slow.
Sure.
And, like, I would go up to, like, 39, and I would have to let off, and it would just, it felt like I was walking through mud. I kept going, because I could feel the cop getting frustrated.
Yeah.
I was getting frustrated. I'm not saying for someone to call or text and say, it's okay to speed. I'm saying, what speed would you like me to go if you're behind me? Now, I know you can turn the lights on and blow by, but you're not allowed to do that unless there's a thing that you need to have the lights on for. So, like, again, if the speed limit's 45, would you want me doing 45, or do you want me doing 50, or what's the comfortable number that I'm not going to make your day difficult? Because, like, is the other thing is I don't want to go too fast and have them they're gonna like, well, now I got to pull you over, dude, and waste my time telling you don't go 7 miles over the speed limit, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, I think
they won't be able to ignore it. So,
I think
what do we do?
I think the magic number is under 10 miles over. Now, having said that, one option you have is to pull over and let the cop pass you, which means he's really going to be suspicious of you.
Yeah, he's going to stop immediately. He'll pull right over behind me and say, what's the problem?
And the other question I have is, what the hell are you trying to hide that you don't want your plate run? That's what I want to know.
I don't care if they run. No. I don't care if they run my plate. I think they were just running.
I don't know.
I
got the feeling.
I think they were just suspicious that I was doing 35 miles an hour.
I'm suspicious of you.
They're like, well, let's run his plate and see what his deal is. Maybe suspend it.
If I was a cop, I'd be running your damn plate. That's for sure.
Or something. I don't care. Run my plate all day long. I don't want, look, if you want me to go 35 in the 35, you want everything to come to a traffic jam, if you want it to be a parade like that, I will do it. But I don't want to do that if it's just going to make you grunt and groan in your car the same way I'm grunt and groaning in my car because I'm doing 35.
Well, this is etiquette now. That's where we're in the realm of etiquette.
What they need. And here's the other thing, is they need a light on top of the car like taxis used to have.
Yeah.
One that says off-duty or on-duty.
Yeah.
Because now I know if you're just trying to get home.
Sure.
You know, your work shift is over.
Then you're doing 70.
You just have to still be in your sheriff's vehicle, and you want to get home. And, Craig, now we're all just doing, like, regular, normal people driving. Speed limit's 35, we're all doing 42, that kind of thing. So I'll just go, the regular speed limit so you can get home, I can get where I'm going. That kind of thing.
Well,
I'm not saying is it okay to speed. I'm saying what's the etiquette of it. What do we do? Nobody's ever discussed this. We need to know.
What I like is when they park their car somewhere, police car or sheriff's car, and they're not in the damn car. Everybody slows down, and they do it.
That's why they do it. They do it to get everybody to slow down.
They do it in Frankfurt a lot by the Frankfurt Fire Department, and the car's always empty. Not that you ever want to risk it.
Don't out them.
But I'm not outing him. I'm just telling the truth. I mean, I speak the truth. But, I'm going to put another angle on this, okay? And Maria makes great fun of me for this. I'm in my car, which has things on the side that say the Prius store. and I will be raving if somebody's going too slow and my hands are going. And Maria says, Dad, they're going to see you.
You can't give the finger.
I don't give people the finger. Seldom.
I do.
Well, I don't usually. Just because
I'm one of those people who can do it because I'm big and young and strong.
Well, that's a good reason. But I will. If somebody is doing something stupid, I will demonstrate with my hands. What are you doing? Because there are people who do a lot. Jump the stop sign, come screaming up to the corner, and it doesn't look like they're going to stop, and you have to slam on the brakes just in case they do come out, and you don't want to be in an accident if you can avoid it. And then I'll throw my hands up in the air like, what the gosh darn are you doing, fella? I don't use those words, though. And if you could read my lips, but I remember once, this is just whimsical, but in downtown Bangor, right at the intersection that goes over the Union Street Bridge, to go to Brewer, top of that hill by the Bangor House, I'm going headed downtown, and the traffic was backed up. I have the right of way because I'm going straight. And this lady in a minivan thought she should cut me off, and I didn't let her. And she gave me the finger. This otherwise probably very polite person gave me the finger. Yeah. I believe I might have indicated something back to her. I don't recall my response. I might just throw my hands in the air.
We give out driver's licenses too easily. If you do stuff like that, you lose it.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, and here's another thing. Once I'm governor, we're going to install a system in cars that if I'm driving and you're driving and you got your high beams on and you don't dim them when we go by after our cars pass, that's a moving violation, by the way. After our cars pass, a gun's going to drop down from your headliner and shoot you in the chest. Because that's how frustrating that is to the rest of us. You're cruising around with your high beams on like you own the world.
Well, I just watched a Jason Bourne movie last night, and I'm not sure I want to, even with all that violence, I would say let's do this. Rather than have a gun drop down, you get an electric shock. Okay?
I thought of that one, too, because most cars have heated seats at this point.
So you could probably
just work something into that.
Sure. That'd be good. And that way, you could live to...
It automatically dumps a gallon of gas.
Or you get a couple of shocks before you get shot. Maybe something like that.
Yeah. You get like three shocks and then you get shot in the chest and that's it because you didn't dim your headlights because you're an inconsiderate.
Oh boy, you're gonna get a lot of votes. I can tell.
I get the weirdest, like, I wouldn't call it road rage. I just get road frustration, but I get it over stuff that doesn't make any sense. Like, somebody will be doing nothing, and I'll be like, oh, that's right, let's just bleep and turn left.
Yeah, well, you get that from me.
They're just turning left. They did nothing wrong. I just get upset about it.
You get that from me, unfortunately. It's apparently genetic.
At this point, my car runs on obscenities, like 30% of its fuel. If there's not this little black cloud of swear words hanging over it at all times when it's operating, it'll get worse gas mileage.
Oh, boy, it's a good thing you're not a Catholic. You'd be going to confession every day. All right, well, we got to take a break. It's 9:31. I missed an hour there.
Law enforcement officers, do chime in on the text line. Yeah, send us that number so we know how fast I can go.
601-207-4478. If you're a law enforcement person, please answer Pete's question. So there you go. We'll be right back.
We appreciate it.
Yeah, stay with us. Pete is on line three, the governor's line, right there. Good morning again, Pete.
Good morning.
And I watched The Big Lebowski this past week, so this song is quite appropriate. So there we go. You haven't watched The Big Lebowski, have you?
Did you just ask me if I have watched The Big Lebowski?
Have you seen the movie?
It came out like 30 years ago. Yeah, I've seen it once or twice.
No, Pete. The Big Lebowski is one of those films you have to watch at least once a year.
I've seen it.
Yeah, you have to watch it again. There's nuances. It's like It's like a Star Wars movie. You have to watch it multiple times.
If I'm going Jeff Daniels, then I'm going Tron.
Jeff Daniels was not in The Big Lebowski.
Jeff Bridges. Then I'm going to watch Tron.
Okay. All right. I got it. Let's see. We got any text messages from the law officers of the state of Maine? No.
Well, I just want to know, like,
they want you
how
to
fast
be...
can I go that it's not frustrating for me and it's not frustrating for you?
Ain't happening. They're not going to tell you.
They're not going to. They're sitting in their cruiser.
They're laughing at you.
Department phone.
They're going to pull up your plate and they're going to be laughing. That's that ghosty kid. He ain't getting nothing.
They can run the plate, but I know what they were doing. It was because I was suddenly doing the speed limit. And then they were like, well, why is this guy doing the speed limit?
Yeah, but now they're going to be laughing at you because they know it's going to be you when they pull the plate. That's that guy.
Like, should we pull him over for doing 36 and a 35? Like, oh, yeah, it'll be funny. We'll
all right,
talk about it on the radio.
We got the phone call here, so we'll give it a try and see how screwed up this is going to sound on the board with two calls. Let's try it. Oh, man. And I hung up on Pete. Oh, God. Give me strength. It is Saturday morning, isn't it? I need more coffee. That's what it is. There he is. Okay, sorry about that, Pete.
Not a problem.
If I hit that button, then we try. Now we're all set. You're locked in. You ain't going nowhere. Let's try the phone again. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, good. So I want to answer that guy's question that, you know, first of all, these cars they make today, the headlights are like a billion watts, you know, so they're definitely blinded. And secondly, what I do when I get pulled over by when I have a cop behind me, I pull over into the next spot because I don't like commie brown shirts following me around.
Okay. All right.
That's one way to go.
That's one way to go. That's, yep.
I think the brown shirts were fascist, weren't they?
I think so. I there's a difference there. You know, it's one person's fascist, another person's commie. There you go. Super tribalism. That's what I was talking about.
I heard voices in the background there. I was kind of thinking, I'm like, well, here we go. We got the cop who's going to explain.
Yeah,
fast.
Yeah.
I just want to know how... But that's just it, is if I'm in a lane, there's a cop behind me, and I change lanes, and I don't do that, but if I did, then the cop follows me. Well, now I'm in the wrong lane.
Yep, yep.
And I got the cop behind me, so now what do I do?
Okay,
now I got to change lanes back at some point.
The phones are filling up again. Let's give it another go, see where we go next. Good morning. You're on The Voice of Maine.
Yeah, good morning, Tom. With you two car experts on, I'm wondering if you're willing to tackle a question about a 2003 VW Golf TDI, new turbocharger put in, but I still can't get it to operate at full power. And
boy,
I want to know if you had any ideas or if we want to pass on that one.
I'm going to pass on that one. you know, there is a guy down somewhere here in Maine who's a Golf diesel expert. I don't know his name, so that's not much help. But he's somewhere south of us here. And I can't tell you who he was because a friend of mine has used him. I guess he's kind of brusque, but he's apparently quite good. You know, it's funny, the people who are really good usually have a bit of an attitude. So that explains my attitude, maybe, Pete. I don't know, maybe not. Probably not.
No,
I just have an attitude for no good reason. I have no gift to share. But I'm afraid I don't. But I know, you know, diesels are reasonably common, and there are people around who can deal with, especially VWs. I'm not that guy, so sorry about that.
I guarantee I don't know.
Okay. Yep. So we got the parking lot looks pretty darn empty to me right now. It's kind of frustrating.
Yeah, well, you know, everybody came in and bought cars on Thursday when I wasn't here.
Yeah, they knew what day to come
weird.
In.
And it was like nothing that was lined up. It's just everybody showed up on Thursday. And
yeah, for cars that we weren't anticipating going. The cars we have basically sold were the ones we've been chasing our tail on all week for relatively minor things, but just to try to get them, you know, it's just been literally comedy of errors, but at least one of the two is ready to go, and the other one is...
the other one's we had to replace an O2 sensor, then there was... We replaced the O2 sensor again, and it's thrown an O2 sensor. The O2 sensor is the bane of my existence.
Yeah, yeah. It's very frustrating.
Drew, if you're listening, it's home. We're working on it, I promise.
Yeah. Well, we've bought into the factory for getting wiring diagrams and codes and stuff and trying to sort it out, and I have it being diagnosed, and hopefully we'll get it sorted out. Hopefully, I'm underlining that now, and I'm capitalizing it in bold letters. It is frustrating, though, especially when we have had the car out for sale. I mean, we put it for sale. Yeah. We knew everything's ready, and then you're driving it. And I think the check engine light came on for us, not for the customer even, right?
It came on for the customer.
Oh, it did. Okay. All right.
Yeah, and what's weird is it had been driven plenty of times, but as soon as somebody's serious about it, that's the dumb acts up, and then we're chasing it.
Yeah,
but we'll get it. We'll get it.
We will.
We might lose a customer, but we'll get it.
And this car, I've driven it enough now, back and forth for different things.
It's great.
It is the smoothest car, and we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
So, and we'll have more cars.
What else is new?
That's about it, I guess. I don't know. I'm getting ready. Oh, you know what? You're going to love this. I might need a hand for about 5 minutes. I have to move my... You're going to groan. I have to move my elliptical machine so I could paint underneath it.
He gets. His doctor said he should get an elliptical machine. So they're always by the side of the road for free. People are always throwing them away because nobody ever uses them. So what does he do? He finds one on Marketplace. It's like a gym-sized machine.
It's huge.
It's like the biggest. It's the biggest. It's bigger than this building. It's the largest elliptical machine on the planet. That's the one he wants.
Well, it was free.
And it wasn't free. It wasn't free. When we have to move something that big, it's not free.
Yeah, but it was a bonding moment. You know, we got to spend time together.
Free. You had to pay.
You
them.
And
that
I
was money.
You
that
and
wasn't
I
wasn't free.
You and I went to Castine. To a historic house, and by the way, they dropped the price by $200,000 to give you some perspective.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, I love the house. I was hoping we'd get a tour, but we didn't. We were in the outbuilding, which was I would live in the
we're
outbuilding.
In the servant buildings.
Yeah, the servant building with the elliptical machine. I could live in there. That was nice, and but I haven't tried moving it by myself.
Don't move it by yourself.
See,
I'll move it.
That's why I haven't moved it, because you're going to holler.
I'll get mad. Don't just leave it. I'll move it.
All right. Okay.
I'll move it after lunch. Get that acid reflux going.
I'm not sure. Well, what about tomorrow? Come over tomorrow. We'll do it tomorrow. You got nothing going on Sundays. You built a deck last week. Was that this week or last week?
Last week.
Yeah. That came out pretty nice. I was kind of impressed.
Thank you. That wood was so wet. That saw just kept skipping back. It was funny, as I bought a 13-amp cordless circular saw, right? And I figured it was the saw. I'm like, the saw is messed up. Something's wrong with the saw. It should be going right through this. And that's when it clicked with me. I'm like, oh, you know what? Because the first two boards I cut were 2x12s, 2x8x12. Now, obviously, the longer lumber sits a little bit longer, so it was a little bit drier. When I got into the 2x8, it was like trying to nail Jell-O to a tree. It was just awful. Get through it. I said a bad word, but I got through it.
That's the spirit.
So, I come over to your house, build one too.
I don't need a deck. Although I told your mother we could put a deck out the back of the house, wrap around porch.
You ought to put a whole balcony out there.
Yeah. Yeah, the back of my house is...
One of those ones that turns rickety real quick. Not cantilevered or anything, just screwed to the building with some posts.
Pete's brother moved into a house down in MDI because he works at Jackson Lab. And he had outdoor stairs that went up two stories. And those were shaky. You remember those? We moved furniture.
I've never been there.
You didn't help him move in?
No.
Oh, no. That's right.
I helped him move to from his apartment to the house he was renting.
Oh, okay. That's right. Yeah. Well, we moved, I think we moved his sofa up these outdoor stairs that were 20 feet in the air. Stairs. And they were pretty shaky. And first thing he did was hire my friend Doug to rebuild them. And Doug built them like it's a battle cruiser. I mean, it's just solid as can be. It wasn't cheap, but he did a great job. So we got that going for us.
So why didn't you just bring the couch up the inside stairs?
I think the turn angle, the couch was too big.
Nah. You guys are amateurs. You debutantes. I could get a couch up any flight of stairs.
It turns 90 degrees. The stairs turns 90 degrees. And we couldn't.
For a period of about 10 years, my buddy Joe moved like 38 times. Okay, yeah. So I can move a couch anywhere. You show me stairs, I'll get a couch.
Where the hell were you when we moved Alex's
furniture? I don't know. I was probably here doing the work.
Yeah, right. I'm sure that was the case.
I would have gone to move things. I love heavy lifting.
Yeah.
I like to be useful.
Okay, well, we got the elliptical.
Not at work. Don't get involved in my work there. I don't want to be useful here. I want to be useful on my own time.
Okay, so you coming tomorrow then? You put your foot. We could do it on Thursday
right
when you're off.
Walked right back into that one, didn't I?
Yeah. Thursday we'll do it when you're off.
No,
in between your other activities on your days off, just swing over. I actually have not tried to move it by myself because it is wheeled on the backside. It only weighs about 800 pounds.
You're too frail. He calls me up the other morning. He's like, I come into work. He's like, I need you to come up here. I'm moving the boiler out, right? I go up there. He's got these two ramps going through a people-sized door to the back of a pickup truck. He's got the boiler on a appliance dolly, which the appliance dolly alone is too heavy for you to be moving by yourself.
Yeah, I'm old.
And so I start to pull the thing up there. This boiler's got to weigh 400 pounds, yeah. Right? And these ramp boards are something he got for free when he bought a lawnmower.
Who knows how long ago. I bought the ramp boards along with the wood stove, which also weighed about the same weight as the boiler.
Okay. So. There we go. The wood stove was infinitely lighter than this thing.
Maria and I moved the wood stove. So your sister.
Yeah, that's my point.
Your sister was able to move the wood stove.
Yeah, these ramps are just waiting to break. So we're rolling this stupid thing up, and it's just barely getting up onto the truck. And then all of a sudden, one of those little chains, the little cords, the metal cords that hold the tailgate on, one of those snapped.
Tailgate strap broke. That was fun.
Yeah.
That was
and
exciting.
All I'm thinking is, like, this thing's going to come crashing down on my legs.
Did it?
No, it didn't.
Okay.
It didn't.
You should be an insurance
Everything
man.
With you has got to be a big production. You can't just have
wasn't a
small,
big production.
Lightweight. It's like we make a space in the shop, and you fill it up with the biggest, heaviest piece of junk you can find. And then it sits there for 4 years. It's there through a fire, and then we sell it. How's that wheel balancer going, by the way? Is that getting a lot of use out of that?
That's there for, you know, who was looking at that the other day? John was looking at that. He says, "Oh, you got
John
a wheel balancer." He got all excited. Well, the thing is now the reason we changed boilers is the Toyotomi boiler. I can carry by myself. It's that light.
You can put a Toyotomi boiler under your arm and carry it down the stairs.
I did, as a matter of fact. And I set that up last Saturday it's on cinder blocks. I painted the cinder blocks to match the floor because now it's decorative. And the Toyotomi's all nice and shiny on top of it. And it took, you know, I spent more time getting the right fittings for the fuel lines than I did for anything else related to doing the changeover, including you and I moving that damn old boiler out onto the truck. So that was...
You aren't concerned about the cinder blocks and moisture in the basement?
No. You know, this. I'm actually kind of amazed because we're on the side of a hill. The basement is extraordinarily dry. It absolutely amazes me how dry it is down there. And there was moisture when we first moved in, but there was the well pipe coming in through the basement wall. Now, the well pipe...
There was a little bit of moisture around that, yeah.
It was maybe an inch and a half in diameter. There was a 6-inch hole through the foundation with mud pouring in. So I don't remember what I did to back it, but I used the hydraulic cement, and that... Mm-hmm. that stopped everything. Oh, man, we got a whole bunch of messages here. We got time for them, too. First one says, Pete, I would pull over to relieve the stress of balancing, watching forward, the speed you're doing and the cop behind you. True. Was Massimo's once in Brewer? I got by the sign in Brewer Industrial Park. Yes, he was once in Brewer. I had a friend who was a cop in the car with me one time. And I was running late. I asked her how fast I could go without getting pulled over. She says something like, maybe 15 over, but they want you to pull over. But if they want to pull you over, they're pulling you over. There are 100 reasons police officer can pull you over. True.
Yeah.
Morning, Tom.
I don't want to go so fast that they're groaning and saying, I got to pull this jerk over because he's going, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't want to make life difficult for them.
Yeah. Morning, Tom. Speaking of building decks, how do you use a 4-foot sonotube if our frost depth is 5 feet? You just go down 4 feet. I don't like using sonotubes, really. And truly, if you're using a sonotube, it should be just maybe a couple of inches above grade. It should not be 2 feet sticking out of the ground, 2 feet or even a foot. Maybe maximum 6 inches, because a sonotube is obviously filled with concrete and it's very conductive. So it'll tend to make a point where you're wicking heat out of the ground and freezing the surrounding ground. So the sonotube is a wonderful thing, but it doesn't work exactly the way we want it to. And being down 5 feet doesn't necessarily guarantee it. Usually probably would be okay. But I would say if you got a 4-foot sonotube, you're good. Or you could go down 5 or 6 feet, fill it with concrete, set the sonotube on top so that becomes a footer. And that really gives you a broader base as well if you really want to be anal about it. But it's not imperative that you be down 5 feet. I mean, you know, I think it also depends on the soils. If you have real clay soils, I would be inclined to maybe fill down that first foot or so with just concrete and get rebar down and put your sonotube on top of it and do it in two pours. The other thing I would do is if I was using a sonotube is put foam around the perimeter of the sonotube, maybe out a foot or so. That is not going to hurt anything. Somebody said you and I have rapport. Is that a good thing?
Like you and them or you and me?
You and I.
Okay, but do either of us have rapport with them?
I don't think so. But we're out of time.
Well, we got to work on that. We're always improving.
We are. We're working on it. We're trying anyway. That's a noble effort. Pete, I will see you in a little while. Thank you for calling in.
Yes, sir.
And everybody out there, take care. Enjoy the autumn weather.
I've got a pocket full of miracles. And with a pocket full of miracles, one little miracle a day is all I need. Tea rubbles more or less be all the me, I guess, when the sun doesn't shine. But there's that pocket full of miracles, and with a pocket full of miracles, the world's a bright and shiny.